Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. Pleasantville was a movie in the late 1990s starring Reese Witherspoon and Tobey Maguire as Jennifer and David, teenage siblings living in an unnamed suburban town. Pleasantville happened to be the name of a TV show David watched, a 1950s black and white sitcom set in this well-manicured, carefully planned town. Just as the name suggested, Pleasantville had no crime. Everything was orderly. And the crisis on a given day just might be firefighters rescuing a helpless cat from a tree. Pleasantville was as pleasant can be. There were no disruptions, interruptions, or eruptions. And the people of Pleasantville did all they could to keep it that way. Pleasantville was safe, controlled, and domesticated. With a bit of TV magic, Jennifer and David were transported from their real world of color right into black and white Pleasantville. There they tried to fit in, but their most earnest efforts betrayed their intentions. As they engaged the people of Pleasantville with their emotions, their passions, their desires, really just who they were, something wonderful and scary happened. Black and white Pleasantville began to change. The people with whom Jennifer and David interacted began to experience their real emotions. Initially, it was uncomfortable, but they felt alive. And their appearance literally changed from black and white to color. Trees, flowers, buildings all started to pick up color. And perhaps not surprisingly, for most of the citizens of Pleasantville, this was very upsetting. The wild, the enlivening, and the real clashed with what was pragmatic and safe and tame. Now, I won't tell you how the movie ends. If you haven't seen the movie, it is available on iTunes or at your local video store or the library. But we get the gist of the movie. Sometimes we settle into our monochromatic world and forget that we once were colorful and passionate, fully alive and real. In our gospel reading this morning, John, son of Zechariah, walked out of the wilderness and straight into Pleasantville, Israel. Pleasantville, Israel was orderly, tamed, and governed. The long and detailed list of rulers reminded us of who set the tone for what to believe and how to be? Emperor, governor, rulers, and high priest. And then there was John, strayed out of the wilderness, and the only person in this reading who did not have a title other than being Zechariah's son. John, who came out of the wilderness, the desert, where there were no boundaries, no country, no religion or creed. In this reading, he was just John. We know him elsewhere as John who ate locust and wild honey and wore a camel hair coat. John was wild, with nothing to hold him back. This John, whom we know as John the Baptist, shows up every Advent without fail, even twice sometimes. Like next Sunday, when the gospel reading will again center on John. Why John? And how does John prepare the way for the coming of Jesus? Now, what if John was perceived as wild only because the people had become so tamed? Might it be that their attempt to do religion in the right way, by saying the right things, by being with the right people, had made them lose touch with what made them feel alive? Might it be that every Advent, John is sent to our hearts again to shake us, to stir us up, or even shock us, to prepare us to return to our true and wild selves again, to prepare us to welcome Jesus again? Might it be that our society has its way of busying us, dulling our senses, and taking color away from our lives, as we trade our desires for what is just, for what is sentimental or predictable or safe? Might it be that we need John more than we know? Last week in her sermon, Paula mentioned how we are meant to live as unbounded people, a people loved by God's frightening yet unrelenting love. I think this was what John is preparing for us every Advent. So this Advent, let us prepare to be unbounded, just as the desert is unbounded and vast and wild, not defined, not limited. The wilderness, the desert, is a place where we do not know what to expect. And that just might be a good thing for our souls. There's only so much we can control, and it can be frightening at first. But if you've ever been to Joshua Tree or Red Rock Canyon, you know how beautiful the desert wilderness can be. This Advent, let us also prepare to repent. The word in Greek used here is metanoia, to turn around, maybe to return where we've been before, where we were less self-conscious and more alive, like when we were children, when all the responsibility and pragmatism and duty hasn't set in yet and weighed us down. I wonder perhaps this is why Jesus loved children so much and why we celebrate in Advent the Christ child. Christian spiritual writer Kathleen Norris wrote, "Repentance is coming to our senses, seeing suddenly what we've done that we might not have done, or recognizing that the problem is not in what we do, but in what we become." So turn around. Let us return to where we've been before. This Advent, let us also prepare to receive again the good news that we read in our gospel reading, that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The good news about the unrelenting and wild love of God, an unbounded love that sees all color, all background, beyond what government or society or even religion tells us what is right and how we're supposed to be. Last Sunday, I wished everyone a Happy New Year as the church year restarted with the first Sunday of Advent. This is a time to re-engage what we believe and how we live out our faith. Advent invites us to move past what is right religion into an active and living faith as people of God. Theologian Stanley Hauerwas, in his book Resident Aliens, writes, Christianity is more than a matter of new understanding. Christianity is an invitation to be part of an alien people who make a difference because they see something that cannot otherwise be seen without Christ. So where is your Pleasantville this morning? Living in Pleasantville sure has its appeal. There is safety in knowing what to expect, what rules to obey. But God, through John, son of Zechariah, is beckoning us to transform our lives from black and white to color, to come alive this Advent, to let the unrelenting love of God unbind us. In the Book of Hours, a collection of love poems to God, Rainer Maria Rilke wrote about the same desire for coming alive. And here are his words. I believe in all that has never yet been spoken. I want to free what waits within me, so that what no one has dared to wish for may for once spring clear without my contriving. If this is arrogance, God, forgive me, but this is what I need to say. May what I do flow from me like a river, the way it is with children, no forcing or holding back. Then in these swellings and ebbing current, these deepening tides moving out, returning, I will sing you as no one ever has, streaming through widening channels into the open sea. This Advent, may we come alive as we start again in our journey to reclaim the wildness within us. May we come alive as the unrelenting love of God unbinds us and flows through us. O God, may we come alive as we sing you, as no one ever has, as heralds of God's salvation, preparing the way of Jesus. Amen.